The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
KNUS Denver,
a Salem Media Group station.
You're not going to hear the same old regurgitated news headlines over and over all morning long. This guy has a personality and a pulse. This is Peter Boyles.
I can lay claim to having a pulse. You'll have to make your own determination about the personality. But I sure am enjoying being with you here on the Peter Boyles Show. Be back tomorrow. We'll talk to folks from the Recall Leroy Garcia campaign down in Pueblo. Sounds to me like they got the signatures that they needed to make that baby hum. That's pretty exciting. And on Monday, cannot wait to reconnect with Brigitte Gabrielle. She is always a terrific interview. And I'm sorry I didn't have more time to do back and forth with Ken Buck. There just wasn't enough time because there were a couple things I wanted him to comment on. I figured it was more important for you to hear what he had to say than to hear what I had to say. While we wait for Jimmy Sangenberger, let's jump on board with caller Joseph, who's been holding through the break. Joseph, good morning and welcome to the Peter Boyles Show.
Hi, Randy. I was elected to precinct captain in 2016. And the reason I was elected is because I went to support President Trump. And I've been disgusted by the Colorado politicians in the last 3 years. We have an election 1 year away. And Ken Buck and Cory Gardner's biggest opportunity is to stand up and get in support of President Trump. It will be the most important thing that they ever do as an elected representative and senator. If they do not, we will not stand up for them in 2020.
Well, I think it's an excellent point. And, you know, I guess the question is, can you disagree with certain decisions or policies of the president and still consider yourself a supporter? I, of course, would say yes. We've got Cory Gardner. He issued a statement yesterday, was not very supportive of the president's decision in Syria. Yet we know that Trump has endorsed Gardner, that Gardner votes the Trump line, the Trump agenda, 90%+ of the time. And so, you know, how much perfection, how much 100% sort of agreement are we going to need? I'd like to hear more of it, especially from Senator Gardner. I think Ken Buck has made it very, very clear. In fact, you know, at the Republican National Convention, after Trump cinched and confirmed the nomination, he was the first one to show up at our breakfast the next morning and say, hey, all you Ted Cruzers out there, it's now the world against Hillary Clinton, saddle up. And I think he's carried that vision and that view right through all of his service as congressman and now as Colorado State GOP chair.
Well, the Trump train is still open for business. And Cory Gardner and Ken Buck will have a microphone in front of them to voice their support for President Trump. That this is what was missing this last 3 years. And the reason that the GOP will fail if they do not get on board is because people in their base will not vote for them if they do not stand and support this president. They need to open up their mouth and say something.
I agree with you, especially when you say that without the support of the base, neither the politicians in Colorado nor Donald Trump's campaign efforts in Colorado will go very far. But I don't think you answered my question. How much of that support has to be 100% all the time?
Well, Ronald Reagan said it was a big tent. And I think that we have to understand there's always going to be differing opinions. But when it comes to leading the party, Ronald Reagan also said, you will not speak unkindly of a Republican.
Yeah.
And this is something that Ken Buck and Cory Gardner do not understand. And they are alienating their base by doing this idea that they're going to get support from the middle and the left. It's not going to happen if they're missing 30% to 40% of their base.
I see we've got Jimmy Sengenberger flashing on the screen now, so let me make this the last question. It's such an important call. Is there any validity in your mind to the argument that, hey, look at my voting record, look at the alternative to me, John Hickenlooper, for instance, most likely the opponent for Cory Gardner in the Senate race next year, and understand that I, as a politician in a now very blue, barely purple state of Colorado, need to try and maintain appeal for those voters who don't have the love affair and the support and perhaps the understanding of President Donald J. Trump that you and I possess. So I have to walk some fine lines to try and get through to the end of this election. What's your response to that?
I think that's a peripheral viewpoint that will not engineer the big thrust of what needs to happen is to move all of the base to the polls.
Yeah.
With President Trump's vote, because the presidential election carries so much weight in the upcoming election that if all of the Trump supporters move forward and vote for Cory Gardner and vote for Ken Buck or whoever Republican on the ticket, party Trump's person. They do not understand that. And one thing that we have to understand is appeasing the middle will never solidify the base.
Joseph, this is a terrific phone call, and let me just summarize it this way, or at least remind folks this way. John McCain tried to thread the needle in a Colorado that had a lot more red leanings than it does right now. Mitt Romney tried to thread the needle in a Colorado that is far more bluish, maybe a little purplish, now than it was back during the reelection campaign of Barack Obama. They both lost by significantly larger percentages in the state of Colorado than did Donald Trump, who threads no needles and doesn't even try, just 3.5 short years ago. So 4 years ago now, I guess, or 3 years ago. But the point is so great. Without the enthusiasm of a fired up base out there knocking the doors, writing the checks, making the calls, pumping up their friends, etc., it's over. And anybody who thinks they can thread the needle and win an election in the 21st century politics, I think, just isn't looking at recent history. So great call.
Well, they're going to have an open microphone.
Yeah,
two.
I got you.
Cory Gardner will have an open mic if he was to go on Fox News and say, I'm firmly behind this president. Let's get over all of this impeachment nonsense and get on with business.
Yeah, where are the U.S. senators, the Republican senators like Gardner and others? They're so few and far between, literally calling out this joke of an impeachment circus. It's a great question, Joseph. Got to jump. But I really appreciate you holding and being the first caller of the hour today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to get back to the phones. Joseph's line is open, 303-696-1971. But I did want to check in with a colleague and friend, Jimmy Sengenberger. Good morning, sir. Jimmy?
Good morning, Randy. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Welcome back from D.C.
Thank you. Yeah, I just had a few meetings there in the swamp, and I know you were just in D.C. a few weeks ago. Got to say, it is pretty beautiful for a swamp, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this time of year, it's wonderful. And when I was giving my speech from the West Lawn of the Capitol during the Tea Party Patriots rally, I made that comment to everybody. I mean, look around at all the beauty, all the magnificent palaces, you know, a lot of them kind of self-aggrandizing to the power of government, I suppose, all of the real estate and all of it. It's hard to believe that what has become a political swamp, all of this facade of beauty that surrounds us, is actually built on a literal swamp. I mean,
yes, I know.
It's very, very
it's
interesting.
Hysterical.
So we had brought you on to update on the former driver's license window clerk, now in charge of election supervision. She's the Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder, Joan Lopez. You've been having some tangles with her. For people who don't know the story, give the quick update on that and then tell us where we stand today.
Yeah, well, this goes back to really earlier this year, I'd say March of 2019. Joan Lopez is what I call Arapahoe County's license plate tag clerk because she has utterly no election experience prior to this position. She was in the motor vehicle side, which nothing wrong with that, Randy. I mean, if you're working the motor vehicle side, that's fine. I appreciate your work, but that doesn't make you qualified to to be a clerk and recorder. And that has shown not only through levels of incompetence, I would say, that have seeped through her office during her tenure so far. We're only, 10 months into it, but also through the partisanship. I mean, in March of last year or this past year, what we saw was an instance of blocking on Twitter by the clerk of me and former Deputy Secretary of State Suzanne Steyert, as well as Matt Crane, her predecessor's wife, Lisa, on Twitter. Any number of different reasons, but in my case, I was critical of the fact that she was running an organization, an IEC, Independent Expenditure Committee, called Hardcore Democrats, and maintained that position while clerk and recorder. And I identified this and highlighted that maybe Aurora, where I'm a resident, should consider leaving Arapahoe County for elections and conducting their own elections, and highlighting those things. I mean, this was the day of the bomb cyclone, demonstrating that she's really interested in advancing a partisan agenda, not in integrity for elections. Then you get to August of this year. She passed out a flyer along with her staff on a Saturday at Global Fest Aurora. It literally said, it was an informational flyer about voting, and it literally said, vote early and vote often. This is not the Republican joke that we have said for many years about Democrats, Randy. This is what the clerk and recorder included on a flyer. And she needed feedback in order to make a decision to revise that flyer and reprint it. So she even put out on Twitter, said, after feedback, we made these changes. And then Susan found that and said, you shouldn't have to know to get feedback in order to.
Jimmy, we're getting you in and out, so I'm putting you on hold. Maybe Billy can pick up. We can get you in a better connection. Let's go to Lynn, who's been holding as well. Lynn, good morning. Welcome to the Peter Boyle Show.
Good morning. The other gentleman that was talking about Ken Buck and Cory Gardner, I could not have said it better myself, so I probably won't. But I completely agree. Cory Gardner and Ken Buck are very tepid. And they're just phoning it in, and they're doing the bare minimum. And so that's why I don't believe that they will win in the next election, because we've turned a hideous color of blue already, and they just don't get it about Trump. Cory Gardner came right out of the gate criticizing Trump right in the beginning, and he's done things. I agree that he can, you know, not have to toe the entire line. But these are different times, and we need a fighter like Trump, and they're not fighting. They can phone it in any other time, but these times you can't phone it in. They've been able to before, but this is different, and they don't get that. So I think people will reluctantly go, some of them like me, and vote the party line, and I don't want to, but I feel like we have to. But I think there are going to be people who stay home because they keep making Republicans upset, and they seem to not understand why.
You know, and Donald Trump has really set the standard for this. He won an election, and in spite of the popular vote, which was overpumped by California, New York, just a couple of main metro areas, it was a significant electoral college victory. And he did it by energizing people, by firing them up. And all you've got to do is look back, as I said to the other caller, at Mitt Romney and John McCain and how poorly they performed in Colorado. And we're talking about a Colorado that each year leading up to the election campaign of Donald Trump was getting bluer and bluer everywhere else you looked. And so it is a big concern to me. I have less worry about Ken Buck. I think he's been pretty strong. His reelection, personally, is guaranteed. I know for a fact that the Gardner campaign, Trump victory, and the GOP are working closely together. But I really question the strategy of Cory Gardner trying to win Colorado right now as someone who plays the middle.
He can't do it. He can't do it. He is playing the middle. He's pandering. He panders. And we see that. The thing about the Trump election is it's opened our eyes to people who we thought we really were behind. And I think they're good men. I'm not trying to be disparaging, but politically, Trump kind of, it's like we had a feeling before. I wondered, how did Romney become our nominee? When a Tea Party came on the scene, they threw them under the bus twice, And then all of a sudden, how did Romney become the one? So we kind of had to hold our nose and vote. And I feel like that's, I don't want to do that with Republicans anymore. And I do agree that you've got to vote to at least try to take a stand, but they're not making it easy. There's a reason why Cory Gardner is getting so much scrutiny right now, because he's really just phoning it in. And it's not enough. It's not enough to get this state, to keep some red spots in this state.
Well, I do talk with the folks in his campaign. I know that as far as working Colorado, he has been working his tail off, going to Republican districts all around the state, you know, whipping up the outlying counties and all of that. I just worry about their view of the strategy. It seems awfully traditional. And we've seen how that has played out in past presidential years. And we've never seen the left so more energized and more agitated and so willing to go on the attack. And so, you know, you hear the polls of soccer moms don't support Trump. They don't like his pitch and his attitude, et cetera. I don't know how much to believe that, because Trump performed better in Colorado than any of his middle-of-the-road predecessors. And in each of those preceding presidential elections, Colorado was more of a red state than it was in 2016, and than it is right now. So,
I know.
You know, let's keep working on them. Let's not toss them under the bus. Let's keep pushing them, trying to point out these facts, this history. We saw how President Trump helped the vote in Louisiana and North Carolina last week with his rallies. Jimmy Sangenberger's back on the line, so I'm going to go to him. But, Lynn, I really appreciate the call.
Thank you. Very important. Thank you.
And, you know, to everybody who feels the same way, don't let me be the only one that's talking to the campaigns. You know, call these folks and do it in a nice way, a respectful way. I want you to win. I don't want a Senator John Hickenlooper, but I think you're approaching this wrong, and here's why. That can be useful to these people. I don't know whether we can get through to them or not, but we can certainly try. See if we've got a better connection with Jimmy now. Jimmy, how's it sound, buddy? Speak to me.
Hey, I'm trying to speak to you, Randy.
So
I speak
far.
To the heart and from the heart. Am I better?
Yeah, it does sound good. And so we were kind of catching up to August. You were banned from her Twitter feed for a little while, as I recall.
Yes, back in March, and unblocked after like 24 hours. Although she still has an account entitled Joan Lopez, Arapahoe Clerk and Recorder, that's supposedly her personal one, and I'm still blocked from that. But she distributed this flyer in August that said vote early and vote often on it.
It's just incredible.
On an official flyer with information about registering to vote. So let's speed up to last week. And last week what we saw was an instance where the clerk and recorder let Democrat candidates know early that the ballots would be going out in Arapahoe County last Friday. The Republican Party and the public information provided on social media, provided on the official clerk website, had said consistently that it would be this Monday, Columbus Day. And that actually is when they get it to the mail facility, and then things can progress, even though it was a holiday. Well, the Republican Party in Arapahoe County found out on Thursday that she would be putting ballots out, that they would drop on Friday, which totally enabled the Democrats, as they exemplified on Twitter with tweets as recently as last Tuesday, that had said that the ballots, they needed help in order to get mail out, direct mail for these ballots, so that they could meet when people were getting ballots, that they would actually get them. And Republicans were blindsided by this because they were planning to have their mail go out so that it would be received when people were getting ballots, with this Monday as the expectation. Dave Gruber isn't running for re-election, but he's Aurora City Councilman, and he was on my show this past Saturday and said he won by only 54 votes, and this could have made the difference if, say, Matt Crane had done this during his election cycle when Republican Matt Crane was clerk and recorder.
That's outrageous. Have you spoken with Matt Arnold or anybody about possible actions to take against the clerk and recorder? Not that it will help us for November 2019 necessarily, but just to stop these shenanigans as we move into the especially critical presidential year next year.
I haven't pursued any conversations directly, but I know that there are some ethics complaints that have been filed. There's a CORE request to try to get information on all the communications that were exchanged on this, which I think is the important first step.
Yeah, maybe I'll reach out to Suzanne Steyert and get her on the show tomorrow if she's available, because she'd have some insight on that, I'll bet.
Yeah, she's the one who on Saturday told me that she filed a CORA about this to try to get all the communications on it.
I am not surprised. Well, Jimmy Sangenberger, your show, 5 to 8 p.m. Saturdays, always a great one. Thank you so much for stepping in for me to address the Windsor Garden Republicans tonight. My mom was taken to the emergency room yesterday just as I was going into the Red Flag Town Hall that we did at Centennial Gun Club, added some additional complication to the conflict that I have tonight. And so you stepping up to the plate really helps me, and I know they'll be well taken care of over there. So I just want to thank you for that, my
friend. Can you please give your mother my best? She is one of the most wonderful women I have ever met.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you would know, because we all worked together for some time at your very first job at the law offices of Randy B. Corcoran. So,
yes, indeed.
Very cool. Appreciate you, Jimmy. Take care.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right, you bet. Charlene, you'll be first out on the other side. We always do ladies first when I'm in charge of the mic. And Jay, sit tight. Jimmy's line is open, 303-696-1971. At long last, just you and I to the top of the hour, right here as we wrap up the Peter Boyle Show, 710 KNUS.
Become a 710 KNUS insider, and you can listen to podcasts of your favorite 710 shows anytime with no commercial breaks. This special free offer is available for a limited time to 710 KNUS Insider Club members only. Go to 710KNUS.com for complete details.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Join me at 9 right after Pete on News Talk 710 KNUS.
8:26, we're back with full lines. Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyles. Tomorrow we'll be catching up with the recall Leroy Garcia, the Colorado State Senate Majority Leader. I understand they have enough votes to get the recall on the ballot. And then Monday, really looking forward to getting to reconnect with Brigitte Gabriel. That will be a fantastic interview. But we've got full lines right now, so let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get to all of these calls, starting with Charlene. And then we're going to clear the lines before the final break of the show so we can give away our final round of tickets to the Countdown to 2020 War for America's Soul. It's one night only with Dennis Prager and Michelle Malkin. It's a week from Tuesday now, October 29th at CU South Denver. You can get your tickets, complete details at 710knus.com. A lot of people are going. I've seen them at other events that I've been speaking at. And it's presented by the new movie, No Safe Spaces, with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. That's in theaters November 1st. And our partners at Alpha One Tax and Wealth, who you can visit online at alphaonewealth.com. Alphaonewealth.com. Let's get to it now with Charlene. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Randy. Thank you for taking my call. I must say, you're starting to grow on me a little more.
You and I have had our issues. I thought this might be you.
Well, you know, at least the things you're saying is growing on me. And then, you know, I always check for follow through. So, and you're doing pretty well in that regard too. And, you know, that's just my opinion. But anyway, I want to say that, all right, let me just start by saying Moody's put out a report that said that Trump is going to win in a landslide, and it had the state of Colorado as blue. There's only like 6 states that are going total blue, and Colorado was one of them. So I was just thinking, what harm does it do for the Corey and Ken and the GOP to bring Trump in for a rally now? Because, you know, it's, what do we have to lose? It's already predicted to go blue. So let's go big or go home. Let's bring Trump in support of all the way, or just realize that we're blue. So the other thing is I want to say is that I remember Cory Gardner. I agree with the 2 other callers that just called in. They said it so well. I just ditto everything they said. But I remember Cory Gardner after the Billy Bush incident where the cabal was trying to take out Trump, remember? Like 2 months before the election.
You bet.
And they're like, oh, no, he's a, you know, he abuses women, blah, 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 because of the, you know, the locker room joke. And so then Cory Gardner came out and tweeted, I cannot support this man for president. I'll be writing in Vice President Pence's name. So in response to that, if he could do that and sacrifice his vote, you know, so that Clinton could win Colorado, I will be writing in a constitutional conservative's name. And I just wanted to ask you, what are some of the, when has Cory come out in a press conference and said, hey, I support Trump on this? When has he gotten on a stage with him and said, hey, I support Trump. Here's our candidate. Here's our Republican president. He hasn't done that. And, you know, I just cannot in good conscience vote for him for someone who does not support our president. I've never seen him do it, and I was hoping you could give me an instance where he has come out in support on a stage.
Listen, there is,
or in a public.
There is no question, Charlene. Did you watch his speech at the Western Conservative Summit? It's available on YouTube.
Whose speech?
Cory Gardner's.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Go watch that and then call back tomorrow or call me Saturday morning if you have time and give me an idea of what you think, because he hit all of the talking points that you would want, you know, standing up for religious liberty, which was the theme of the Western Conservative Summit this year. Really probably the best speech I have ever heard from Cory Gardner. He's taken certain steps, like coming on with me after staying away for, you know, 3 or 4 years from interacting with me, because I used to give him some tough questions back on the Grassroots Grassroots Radio Colorado days. And so I'm hopeful that those kinds of steps indicate an attempt to reach out to people like you and me who need to see that kind of support. What the campaign will tell you is we believe we're going to get most of the Republican and conservative support because John Hickenlooper or whoever is that bad. And I've got to try and connect with suburban moms and the people who are still skeptical about President Donald Trump. What's your response to that?
Well, my response is when he made that speech, which I haven't listened to, did he at any time mention how he supported our president? Or did he avoid the issue by saying, oh, look what a great conservative I am? It doesn't matter what a great conservative he is if he does not support the president. If we don't have America first with Donald Trump, then we can kiss this country goodbye. And now is the time. I mean, we can't wait. You know, oh, well, we'll get a Republican majority and things will change and we'll get another president. This is the president we've got to support at this time in our country's history to save our country. Nothing is more important than electing this president, in my opinion. But the other thing I wanted to ask you is, where do you get the 90% vote? I know you always fall back on that, and I've never seen any study or source
I'll tell you what,
it's just thrown around.
Yeah, send me a private message on Facebook, and I'll see if I can find you a link. It's not disputed by anybody, Conservative Review or any of the folks who grade these people. We'll see if we can lock it in. Oh, it's
terrible.
Conservative
Review
score. Yeah, I know.
Right. So this other thing, I don't know where it comes from, but a lot of Cory supporters throw that around. It doesn't matter. He's got to get on a stage with Trump, and he's got to say, I support this president, and he's got to come out and support Trump's policies. He hasn't ever come out and done that. Can I just ask you one more thing?
All right, got to make it quick because we got full lines.
Okay. All right. Did you ask Ken Buck about the fundraising for the party? Because that's why the party elected him, right? For his fundraising skills.
I asked him as he was going through the answer. We did run out of time. I didn't get to push him as hard as I would have liked to. We'll get an answer to that.
Okay. Thank you, Randy, so much.
Thank you, Charlene. And I was just going to tell you, Lisa just texted in. I just emailed Gardner voicing my dissatisfaction with his sponsorship of this resolution, told him he will likely lose more votes than he gains. Those are the kinds of messages that Gardner and his office and people need to hear, especially from women in Colorado. So I would encourage you to whip up some activity in that regard. And thank you very much for the call this morning.
Oh, yeah. I've been emailing them. Okay,
right,
thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. We're going to take them in order now. And Jay's been waiting the longest. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jay.
Good morning. Hey, my thing is I heard Ken Buck, and you asked the question, like, what are they doing? I'm a little concerned that he's an absentee state chairman. But on the Tabor situation, all I heard was, gee, I hope that everybody in Colorado votes to make sure Tabor stays in place. I didn't hear him come out and say the GOP in the state of Colorado is working for this, that, or anything else. So I'm just curious. Did I miss something?
Well, you're right. I can just tell you that, and it sounds like you're in a wind tunnel, so we may keep this one a little short. But in fact, I'm going to put you on hold. You can listen off air. My understanding and what I have seen is that in all of the county offices that I connect with from time to time, talking to the vice chairman, Christy Burton Brown, the activity, it is a real priority for the Colorado State GOP to convince people in conjunction with the Denver Post, the Independence Institute, and so many other groups and organizations around the state to vote no on referendum CC. I think a win there, they would consider to be probably maybe not the most important win, but a big win for this particular election cycle. And so, you know, if you don't get their emails, if you're not signed up, if you're not showing up at county meetings and that sort of thing, you may not get this information. I think maybe I'd like to see better use of the bully pulpit. But I do think that the party is organized as best as it can at this stage against referendum CC. That is a big priority. I wish they were doing more. I wish they could do more. And maybe what we'll do to help answer these questions is get Vice Chairman Christy Burton Brown on the air tomorrow when we've got a little more time, a little more flexibility to get through all of the questions and make sure that we get them answered. So I think that's a pretty good idea. We're going to go for about four more minutes with the full lines. Then we're going to clear the lines and offer up one more pair of tickets to the War for American Soul, America's Soul, countdown to 2020. So let's make them smooth and quick. We'll go to Chris, who has a comment on Jimmy Sangenberger's visit, Joan Lopez, the Arapaho clerk and recorder, and GOP support. Chris, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
It's Liberal Chris, Randy. So, I mean, look, when we have conservatives and Republicans around the country using things like vote ID and vote caging and interstate cross-check, at this point, the gloves are off. I mean, elections, conservatives and Republicans set this standard that electioneering and moving levers of power when it comes to disenfranchising votes, ballot stuffing, this is part of the game now.
You're just making crap up, Chris. You're just making crap up. You're doing the typical liberal crap, which is accuse the other side of doing something that Democrats have been doing forever. Matt Crane ran the Arapahoe County GOP clerk and recorder's office with ethics and integrity and class and professionalism, something that Joan Lopez has not brought to the table at all. And there's no time today, so I'm just not going to let you get away with it. Do call back when we've got a little more time to spend. I want to jump to Marilyn right now. Final call before we do our ticket giveaway. Marilyn, welcome to the Peter Boyle Show.
I am so thrilled you just set Chris straight on that. I'm sick and tired of it being thrown back in our faces when we have done nothing but have been decent, trying to be good, fighters out there and look at the laws and go by everything. But I wanted to just chime in that Charlene nailed it. I have been waiting for Buck. I've been waiting for Gardner to come out and go, wait a second. You know, this is BS about Ukraine or this is BS about Russia. These guys are messing up big time. And I am so tired. I am so tired of these kind of Republicans. No wonder we're going blue. We elect these wimpy idiots who think that they can just be buddy-buddies with Beaupre and all. Where's Bill Owens? Where's any old Republican out there to kind of cough up? I mean, it seems like the Democrats can dig people out of the grave to come up and speak badly about, you know, any Republican. But all the Republicans just go and paint art? I mean, come on. We've got to really, why not bring Trump? I was here at Lowry when Trump was here for the 2015-16. It was mammoth. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Marilyn,
and they need... they need to bring him back.
Yeah, just because of time. It's Trump who's going to decide if he comes here. I believe the
really?
Oh, yeah. I think the Colorado State GOP would welcome him with open arms, and I think you'd see Cory Gardner on stage with him. That's the chatter.
That would make me throw up, but I get, yeah, I know. Okay.
Well,
okay.
I know. Just remember the state that we're living in, and I really do appreciate the call. Thanks so much, Marilyn.
You bet. Bye-bye.
And I will say, if any of Corey's campaign folks out there are listening, having heard Corey's speech live, it sounded trite. Randy, I disagree. I've been failed several times on two serious issues by Corey's office. Randy, it doesn't matter how bad Hickenlooper is. Democrats will still line up to vote for him because he isn't Gardner. Unless Republicans do the same for Gardner, Hickenlooper is going to win. That's true, and Republicans will, but it's the conservative. It's the Tea Party patriots. It's the folks who have said, I'm not holding my nose to vote for the lesser of two evils anymore. Those are the people that I think Ken Buck and the GOP, Cory Gardner and his U.S. Senate campaign should be worrying about, and it's our job to convince them of it. We've got some time. The election, 2020 election, is still a year away, but it's time to start now. Okay, we've cleared the lines. We will give our final two tickets for this particular show away. Two tickets for you to join us at Countdown to 2020, The War for America's Soul with Dennis Prager and my good friend Michelle Malkin. It's a week from Tuesday. CU South Denver Wildlife Experience is what it used to be. And we will take caller number 6 at 303-696-1971, 303-696-1971 for a free pair of those tickets. I really hope to see you there. And this special offer is presented by the new movie No Safe Spaces with Dennis Prager and Adam Carolla. That's in theaters November 1st. And our friends at Alpha One Tax and Wealth, where planning, service, and precise execution come together. Check them out online at alphaonetax.com. Stay with us. Your calls when we return.
Download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone or hear us at home or at work on your Alexa device. Details at 710KNUS.com. Message and data rates apply. Countdown to 2020, the war for America's soul. Get tickets and complete details at 710KNUS.com.
Winding
first
down.
Thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing.
Winding down with Merle Haggard. Final few minutes of the Peter Boyle Show. I will be back tomorrow and, of course, Saturday for my regular Saturday morning gig, Denver's only live local conservative Saturday morning show, where I continue to be your pumped-up patriot, your pumped-up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism who does not pop his peas on mic. Man, oh man, what a show. And so many different viewpoints. It was all great. Couple of things I want to share with you. Of course, tomorrow we're going to check in with the Recall Leroy Garcia campaign to recall Senate Majority Leader in the Colorado State Senate, Leroy Garcia. I think that's very, very important to follow through on. Looks like they've got the votes to get that on the ballot. Monday we'll be joined by Brigitte Gabrielle. I want to spend a lot of time tomorrow on the phone lines because this conversation about how Republicans are performing in Colorado, especially Ken Buck as chair of the GOP and Congressman Cory Gardner, is so crucially important. We've got to get the message to these people. And I'll give you my take on that in just a second. But I want you to know how Donald Trump reacted this morning, about an hour ago on Twitter, to the passing of Democrat Elijah Cummings. My warmest condolences to the family and many friends of Congressman Elijah Cummings. I got to see firsthand the strength, passion, and wisdom of this highly respected political leader. His work and voice on so many fronts will be very hard, if not impossible, to replace. And there are already leftist media outlets who are condemning Donald Trump for his expression of sympathy for the loss, the early loss, 68 years old, of Congressman Elijah Cummings. Didn't agree with him on anything. But I said at the start of the show, when the story was reported by Tom Mueller, that he exemplified what politics in the United States should be. He had that Southern gentleman quality to him, kind of a slow drawl, but what he said was always on point. I almost never agreed with any of it. But those are the way battles of ideas are supposed to take place, not behind closed doors in the basement of the Capitol and Inquisition-style deposition inquiries where Republicans aren't allowed, where the president or his attorneys aren't allowed to hear the information that's being gathered or challenge it. That's not how America works. It's outrageous. And my message to the GOP here in the state, to anybody who is running for re-election in the state of Colorado, especially Cory Gardner, is what has the gentlemanly approach to elections gotten us? Paul Ryan would not take up the president's agenda in the House of Representatives. Gentleman John McCain stopped the repeal of Obamacare with his 2 a.m. thumbs down when every other Republican was on board, and it could have been done. A major talking point of the 2016 presidential campaign would have been a huge feather in the presidential cap, and the gentleman, John McCain, out of pure spite, there is no reason in the world that he could not, should not have joined with the other Republicans and even the president that he despised to go ahead and put that early feather in President Trump's cap. And in spite of opposition, and we lost the House, and in spite of opposition from Republicans almost every step of the way, including Cory Gardner, who I want to be reelected. I don't want Senator John Hickenlooper or Andrew Romanoff or anybody else from the Democrat side. We can't have two Democrat senators from our state. It's just, it's unconscionable to even think about. But this gentlemanly middle-of-the-road approach doesn't get it done anymore. Donald Trump is showing you how it works. Donald Trump is showing you the rules that the Democrats play by and have been beating Republicans about the face and head with. Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. Accuse your opponent of the things that you do yourself. Don't answer the question. Redirect, distract, move on, make your attacks, embarrass, humiliate. Those are Democrat rules. They've been in play for a long, long time. And Donald Trump is the first person running as a Republican to seem to get it. And he won the presidency. His very first try at political office, and he won the presidency with everybody against him. Most of the Republicans. The left-stream media, of course. And people who thought, people like me even, who initially said, who is this former Democrat, this former pro-choice Democrat business dealer who's been married several times, and et cetera, et cetera. And I began to change my view of Donald Trump, and I've said this story many times now, when I sat down with my cousin's wife, who spent a lot of time with him, and said, this man is nothing. And she's a leftist. He's nothing like he's portrayed in the media. So, look, Republicans, get ready to fight. Get ready to support this president every time you can, and do it vocally. Doesn't mean we can't have disagreements. That's okay. But if you want to have any chance of turning Colorado around, the only way Republicans are going to do that in this state is going to be to jump on board the Trump train and fight like hell, just like he does. And it's up to you and me and everybody with a phone or an email to reach out to the Cory Gardner campaign and others and let them know, get on board or you've lost my vote. Gotta do it. All right, that's it. I'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Randy Corcoran. Always remember, never forget.